Let's stand and sing together, Love Lifted Me, 265 in the red. God, I don't have to go burn today or any time whenever the last breath leaves this body. Thank God I'm going to go to heaven because God promised me. He said it was assured through the blood of Jesus that I was sealed until the day of redemption. Thank God one day I'm going to take a flight. I'm going home and I'm going to be there with Jesus to live forever. So walk that street of gold right down by the mansions there that's on the Heaven's Boulevard. Walk right to the throne room of God and see Jesus sitting on the throne. Thank God to be in that crystal sea before the throne, being able to worship and praise God and being able to praise Jesus for dying for me on the cross and making a way possible. This morning we need to remember the lost and dying, that God would save her soul before it's everlasting too late. We need to be praying for all those in the hospital. Let's continue to remember Sister Janice as she's continuing to recover. God to give her strength and quick healing to get her out of the hospital. And just remember her in your prayers. Remember Mom still. Pray for her as she continues to recuperate there and getting better all the time. We thank the Lord for that. So keep her in your prayers. And Brother Stephen there, and we're thankful for his good results. Continue to remember Thomas Sturgill there and his battle with cancer. And so keep him in your prayers. All the ones that's bereaved and brokenhearted, let's remember them. I believe also Campus Crusade is going to be marching around up at Asha County around the high schools, maybe in some of the other schools, I'm not sure. But remember them in prayer today as they're going around praying for the schools. We need more praying in America. We need to get to where we wear out the knees of our pants instead of the tires on our cars running up and down the road. Enjoying the good things, we need to wear out the altars, and we would see a difference in America. And we need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our country as a whole, pray for our church. And we'll always be a shining light, shining out in the community. And God would work would be done according to His will. And we'd be shining lights that people may see. Any other prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer this morning? Did you say Hazel Black? So let's remember this. Let's keep praying our prayers. This young lady, eye surgeries are no fun. I've been there and been through that. Busy Phillips. So let's remember this in our prayers. So let's remember Miss Richards. She had a wreck some time ago. So let's keep her in our prayers. Anyone else this morning with a prayer request? Remember Kirsten Sharp. So let's remember this. Anyone else? By an uplifted hand. Anyone that wants to and can, please come to the altar for prayer. Stephen, would you lead us in prayer this morning?
Thank you for this day you give us. I thank you for all the blessings of life. I thank you for each and everyone that's here, dear Lord. As you remember all those prayer requests, Lord, those spoken and unspoken, you know each and every one, dear Lord. Do ask you to be with our country today, Lord, and just thank you for the freedom we have to come and worship you today. As you just lead us and guide us remain this week and be with Brother Brad as he brings us the message. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all pray for me. I've kind of got anointed here the other night. Try to help with the choir. You know, God's put a song in everybody's heart. We may not be able to carry a tune, but if you know the Lord, you've got to put a song in your heart. And you say, well, I can't sing because it doesn't sound good. Well, let me tell you, God's tone deaf. He knows the heart. He doesn't care about the voice. He doesn't care about the outside. He ponders the heart. So sing it to God. Thank you. Next song is Swing Wide the Gates. And, you know, I was singing it yesterday, and from where I'm at now, I can see those gates beyond Jesus. And I can see my loved ones that's gone on. They're standing there looking back. They're voting for me. They're pulling for me. They're pulling for all of us. They're praying for us. And they're rejoicing today, and they're singing some of the prettiest, beautiful songs. And they're sitting there looking back, praying for us and hoping. And they're hoping and praying that if you don't know the answer to get behind, get through those gates, they're open. But you got to go through Jesus to get it.
Amen.
And I pray that you know Jesus. If you don't, listen to this song.
Sing away.
said left, but he was his left, not my left. So I was looking over here and couldn't find him.
Okay, we appreciate y'all coming out today, and it's an important time to remember those who raised us, tried to teach us right from wrong. And we need to remember them. We think it's important for you to know who your cemetery trust fund is. Alan Souther's chairman, and I'm the treasurer, and Pat joins as secretary, and Philip Vestal and John White are members. The charter members of the board are Donald Musgrove, Greg Hosley, Maggie Jones, Jesse Hill, and Pud Roop, and Pud's the survivor. He's the one that we've still got with us. Give you the report. From beginning from August of last year to August now, we had the beginning balance last August was $70,225.38. We received at homecoming last year $892 for a total of $71,171.38. That money is we have in an annuity through First Citizens Bank in that amount of $71,117.38. Interest from the annuity from August to through July of this year was the amount of $992.18 that was turned over to John White for the upkeep of the cemetery. And we'll give John's report here behind. And that's we have 13 shares of Wachovia Bank stock. The Wells Fargo stock is from the buyout of Wachovia. We also have a separate savings account at First Citizens Bank in the amount of $1,090 deposited January 8. The amount is, the account is from $1,000 received from Carol Edwards and $90 received in memorial of Gertrude Dixon. The reason for that is we had to dig around and try to find good places because interest has got to be just nothing. You know how that is. So that to make the best deal, we couldn't just take that money every time and add it to it. So we'll do that once a year or so. So that's the reason we have the kind of side account that we put it in because it don't bear as much interest, and then we'll go put it on the other one. The maintenance account began, I've got it right here. Yeah, the maintenance account from August 19 was 2013 was $3,312.75. The interest of $992.18 that we just talked about in the other report was turned over to John. We had $225 in donations, $1,950 spent out in mowing, and the balance now in the maintenance account is $2,579.93. Now, what you need to remember here this morning, before we take up the offering, we want your money to go where you want it to go. So designate on that check trust fund or maintenance, and we will put it, you know, into the trust. See, the trust fund, you know, is for us to use that interest off for the maintenance is what that's for. We can't take nothing out of the principal. So designate if you wanted to go to the trust fund or if you wanted to go to maintenance, it'll go directly into the maintenance, which will be involved in the mowing. Now, if you put it in there in this offering and you don't put anything on there, it's general church fund. But if you just put cemetery, then we'll put it whichever place that we think it ought to go. But if you designate trust fund or maintenance, then we'll see it particularly goes to that. Now, the box is right outside the door. That's what that's for if you just put your money in there. For the cemetery, that's fine too. But I know a lot of times people don't, and they come in here and they're in the offering plate. So that's the reason we wanted to make sure you understood, you know, how to designate them. If there's a question, we'll make sure of that, just ask. And I guess that's it. didn't think of anything else. This is some good singing this morning, wasn't it? And that's the kind of singing that we grew up in churches.
We'll ask our brother deacons, if they could, to come and pass the offering plate this morning to receive the offering, like he said, designated there, whether you want it on maintenance or to the trust fund. And if neither one of those, then it will go into the general account for the church. So we appreciate that. Appreciate you being here this morning. Appreciate the support of the cemetery and the upkeep there. We have a beautiful grounds that has been taken care of, and we thank the Lord for that. So this morning we'd ask Brother Philip, if he would, to ask a blessing over the offering, please. So if you'd like a copy of that report that Boyman gave and one John has, they're back there on the table. Please pick one up and take that with you. I usually have everybody stand to their feet and welcome each other to the church, but we got a pretty good crowd here today, and we're going to have time of fellowship here in just a little while, so we won't do that today. But everybody will see each other today before you leave, and sometimes it's like a reunion. You get to see people you don't see but once a year. Come for homecoming, but we thank the Lord for you being here this morning. We thank the Marshall brothers for coming this morning, and I'm going to ask them if they would come and do one or two songs maybe sing for us one more time this morning. Debbie has given me a card from the Seal family here and from the Williams family, but Debbie, the writing's so small I can't read it with my eye problem, so I apologize for that. I may get Sandra or Cassandra one that's got some better eyes than I do to read the writing for us, but we do have a thank you note from them. We appreciate that on the death of Juanita Seal. We appreciate them being here with us this morning. So pray for them. Continue to keep them in your prayers also. All right, we're going to ask the Marshall brothers if they would come back and do us a couple more songs.
I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes up there are spoken, for time won't matter anymore. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand. There my my home shall be.
homecoming today is going to be a wonderful thing, I'm sure. There'll probably be some chocolate pie down there. And you can't maintain a figure like this without a little chocolate pie. But that homecoming we just sang about right there is the ultimate homecoming. That's what's important. And this song right here, too, we'll get Greg to do it. Me and Patrick will switch spots up here just a little bit, I believe. You just get on the outside of him, I believe.
What is it?
We'll put Greg in the middle. Let Greg sing a little bit of Working on a Building.
Notice anything funny? I mean, they're not, you know, funny, but the biggest man in the group got the littlest instrument, and the smallest man in the group got the biggest instrument. You know, they say it takes a nervous man, too, to play one of them mandolins like that. But we appreciate them for coming this morning and sharing with us, and God's truly blessed them with a great talent, and I'm glad they're using it for the Lord. Glad they could be here with us this morning. Glad you're here. Thank the Lord that He's here and He was willing to go to the cross of Calvary and die for us that we could be saved, born again, set free. You want to read that for us right quick before I get started here? We appreciate that from them. Like I said, glad they could be here with us today and continue to keep them in your prayers. And we're thinking about homecoming and thinking about the homecomings that's facing us. And friend, there's two homecomings that's waiting you today as you're sitting here maybe for homecoming. If you're not saved, there's a homecoming in hell. And that's not a home that God prepared for mankind. That was a place that was prepared for Satan and his demons. That was a place that was prepared for their punishment, for them trying to rise above God's throne, for Satan wanting to commit the act of pride in his heart, wanting to be over top of God and set up his throne over God. That was a place that God said, this is going to be your place of torment. This is where you're going to be cast into, and the outer darkness and the weeping and gnashing of teeth that it talks about in God's Word. It wasn't for mankind. God created heaven for us, and He breathed into Adam and Eve the breath of life there. He created Eve from the rib that He took from Adam there and gave her life and gave Adam a helpmate. But let me tell you something today. There's two homes that's waiting. It's either a home in heaven or a home in hell that's going to wait for us whenever we leave here. You say, preacher, this is not much of a homecoming message. I want you to be prepared for the ultimate homecoming. I don't want to tickle your ears and tickle your fancy and make you feel good this morning. What I want to do is make you think about where your soul is going to go whenever you leave this world. Have you made it sure with Jesus Christ? Have you felt the tugging at your heartstrings from God drawing you, from the anointing of God being poured out upon you to pull you and draw you into an altar of repentance that you'll say, God, I'm a sinner and I realize that I am lost and dying and going to hell without you, and I need a Savior, and I know that you came and your finished work on the cross of Calvary, and I believe that you died for me that I could be saved and confess with your mouth unto salvation. It's that simple this morning. But we see in God's Word, if you'll turn to Luke chapter 16, there was two homecomings for these men that we're going to talk about. This was not a parable, as many things are in God's Word that we read, but this is a true thing that happened here, because it doesn't say it in a parable. But God, Jesus spoke many times in parables so the people could understand what He was teaching them, that they had some concept of what He was talking about, something they could relate to this morning. Let me tell you something. If you're not saved, you're dying and going to hell. You have to be born again. You must be born again. You can know the Bible frontwards, backwards, sideways, but if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, hell will be your home. Heaven everlasting will be separated from you, and there's no way to get there once you enter that bottomless pit of hell that Satan is taking people to this morning, left and right, because he sold them a false bill of goods, and people are believing it this morning. One of those we've been talking about in our Wednesday night lessons about evolution. That's a lie straight out of hell, no matter what color you want to put on it, no matter what man tries to say. That is something that Satan has come with to try to take God out of the picture, and God's not pleased with it. Let me tell you, I don't have to understand all of creation to know that God did it. I thank God for it, but let me tell you, there's two homecomings. Which one are you facing this morning? I pray you're as Brother Lazarus was here, that you're going to die and lift up your eyes in heaven, being in Abraham's bosom, being in comfort, and not being in want and torment, as we're going to see the rich man this morning. There's many people that have put their faith in riches, as the song was talking about. A house of gold, let me tell you, that stuff's good in its way, but it'll take you right to hell if you trust in it and don't ever trust in Jesus. There was a certain man, now this is Luke chapter 16, verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Now I'll break this down for you kids. He had on the nicest tennis shoes. He had on the best clothes. He'd been to Air Apostle and he'd been to American Eagle and he'd went and got all these clothes and all these nice shoes from Nike, and I think there's some Sacconis and different ones that's out there now. He was dressed up. He had it all going on is what he had it, and he thought he was it because of what he had. Not many of us today. Maybe you got on a Brooks Brothers suit or an Italian suit, or maybe you got on a fancy dress that was made by some big designer and all this stuff. Let me tell you, you can put on a $500 suit being a 50 cent body and ain't no better. This rich man was poor as could be because he didn't know Jesus. He thought he had all that the world had to offer. He had it all dressed up, and he went out, and he had rings on his fingers. He had the big car. He didn't have a car back then. He had the finest chariot. He had all the nice things that the money could buy then. He fared sumptuously. He could go out and eat and leave a big tip and make people think that he was really important. But it didn't matter when it come time when God called his number and God took him out of this world.
And it says now in verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. Full of sores. What, boy, we see somebody like that, and we want to walk around them. Woo! I might get what he's got. I don't want to get around that. Whoa, here. Step on something, fall down here. Don't want that either. But we've seen him here. He's laid at the rich man's gate full of sores. Full of sores. And that's the way I was one day. I was diseased with sin. Laying at the rich man's gate. There wasn't any that was offering to come by my way and offer aid except Jesus. Then verse 21, it says, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs from which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. The dogs had more compassion than the people round about, than the rich man who was there had all that he needed. But he couldn't see the needs of that man laying out there that was full of sores. But the dogs had compassion and licked his sores. Had compassion. Boy, that's something we're lacking, isn't it? Compassion. We're lacking compassion in America. You say, well, we're trying to help everybody. That ain't what I'm saying. We're trying to help everybody to get a big name, but we don't have compassion in what we're doing. There's a difference. There's a difference. We got to be big brother and take care of everybody's problems, while from inside we're going to hell in a handbasket. We can't deal with our own problems for taking care of everybody else. We don't see our own sores. We don't see our own needs. That's right here in our door because we're looking everywhere else. Just as this rich man didn't see here his neighbor that was in need, that was laying at his gate, just desiring the crumbs. Now, a rich man walks in, what do people do? Boy, they snap to attention. They're going to give him the best treatment they can give him. They're going to give him the nice place to sit. They're going to treat him like he's the very top dog, and he'll probably treat them like they are a dog. I've seen it happen. Just thinking, boy, if I treat them good for just a few years, maybe they'll remember me and put me in their will. Don't bet on it. There's a lot of people ahead of you. All them youngins and wives and husbands and everybody else that's in there and foundations and all these things so they can get a plaque put on the wall that says, I give so much money for this. All those things are way ahead of you. And just like this rich man, a lot of things were ahead of helping his neighbor. He didn't have compassion, but the dogs had compassion. And it said, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Thank God. We was talking about it yesterday at the cemetery where my grandparents are buried and many of Mom's family there that's went on that's buried there. And my daughter asked me where I wanted to be buried. I thought, well, I hadn't really thought about it that much. I'm praying the rapture takes place. Don't have to worry about it. And I just go home that way. And I said, I guess just wherever I'm pastoring the last time, put me there. I don't know where I'm going to be buried. But I thank God one thing. They ain't going to bury me. They're going to bury this body. Like I said, this is just a shell that's holding Brad in right now. One day it's going to crack open and let him out. And y'all, I know what y'all thinking. That nut's finally going to get loose. But I tell you, I thank God that one day he's going to crack his shell. And Brad's going to leave his body. He ain't going to know no more diabetes. Ain't going to know more eye problems. Y'all pray for me. I'm trying to get my sugar under better control. And it's like a roller coaster when they start changing your dosages and all those things. And they told me if anything tastes good, spit it out. Boy, I tell you one thing. That's the wrong thing to tell a fat man. So I'm just pretending everything tastes bad and just keep on eating. No, can't do that. I've got to take care of this body and try to live as long as I can, do God's work and do God's will. But it said the beggar died and was carried by the angels. Carried by the angels. You know, many times we have the misconception when somebody leaves here, we say, God got another angel. I beg your pardon. That was another saint that went home. The angels done been created to serve God. Thank God. We're not going to be in service. We're going to be in worship of God. We're not going to be a servant. We're not going to be sitting back here carrying out the work. We're not going to be like the ones in Revelation that's carrying out the bowl judgments and the vials that's going to be poured. We're not those angels, thank God. We're going to be in the presence, and we're going to sing a song in the presence of the angels. They can't sing because we're the redeemed. Thank God. There's a homecoming waiting, just as there was a homecoming for Lazarus. He didn't have much on this earth, thank God. He was a beggar and he laid at the gate and the dogs had compassion and licked his sores. But thank God, God saw him and remembered his heart because of where he lived in his heart, who he believed in, who he put his trust in. Thank God he took him home to be with him and took him there to be in Abraham's bosom. Now at this time we see that was a place of paradise that was prepared for those that died in faith, believing that Christ was coming. He hadn't been to the cross yet. But we know that Jesus went and preached to those that died in faith, believing that he had come and done exactly as he said he'd do, and he resurrected them when he did. It tells us that in God's word, and they were seen of many. Thank God there's going to be a day he's going to call us up. I'm not going to lay out here in the grave. Miss Bo Body will. But me, as Brad's going to leave, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Brother Paul told us that. Thank God I'm not going to always be like this. I'm going to even be worse. You want to be worse for God? I want to praise Him. I want to give Him praise now. I want to be able to say amen. I want to be able to clap my hand when I hear a good song that's going along and singing about Jesus and got my heart astern. I want to be able to lift up my hand and say thank you God for saving me, because He didn't have to. But He loved me. And He gave me a home in heaven, that I can have a home going one day to be with Jesus. Thank God I'm not holding on to Him, but He's holding on to me. I'm weak, and in my greatest strength, I couldn't hold on to Him. But thank God in His weakest time, He can still hang on to me. And thank God He's walking with me daily, and He's carrying me when I can't walk. But we see now that poor Lazarus here, he died and was taken by the angel. Carried and put in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in verse 23 it says it all. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Don't you think all the times that he had an opportunity to help Lazarus may come back around? All the times that maybe he walked by the gate and saw that man laying there just begging for the crumbs from his table, and he didn't have time to even speak to him or let his shadow pass upon him to even give him a little comfort from the sun or give him so much as a glass of water or even took a little time to say a prayer for this man who was laying there. No, he was too busy with the things of the world and his riches to humble himself down and offer assistance to someone else. God sees those humble hearts. He sees that what it's truly meaning are truly our works that we do, whether we're doing them for self or doing them for God. If we're doing them for self, a lot of times we want the recognition. We want the pat on the back. We live for the applause that they was talking about. They were giving glory to God for the applause, not for themselves. We live for that. We live for the accolades. We live for the pat on the back. We live to have that recognition when we do it for the wrong reason. But when we do it for the right reason, we want to see God get the praise. We want to give Him all the honor and glory for it, because it's through Him that He's done these things and gave us these abilities. But He's seen Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Don't you think He probably thought, oh, I'd trade all my riches in the world if I could just trade places with Him now. Because now he was a poor man. He's in hell and torment. And now Lazarus is the rich man. You may not see much when you look at me here. Oh, but I'm a child of the King. I've got it all. I've got a ring on my finger, I got a crown on my head, and I got a robe about me that no one else can have, because He made it just for me. And you got the same thing if you're a child of God, because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It was there put down, pinned down by the hand of God the day that you got saved. He put you over in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now let me tell you, some of you is in the Book of Life. But praise God for those that's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank God for salvation that Jesus made sure and complete and holds us there in His charge and in His hand. And He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tips of his fingers in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Can you just imagine? I know we got some firefighters in here. It gets pretty hot in those fires when you go in there. You got all that protective gear on. It'll protect you for so long. Not, that won't even protect you from all the fire. You're in it long enough, you'll still get burnt. But thank God, and Jesus, He put a fire protection upon me that made me fireproof. Our vacation Bible school was about being fireproof. Thank God Jesus made me fireproof. And He made me a home in heaven. And He said I could go there one day. How when's it going to be, preacher? I don't know. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm anxious to stay here as long as he wants me. I'm anxious to go to heaven, but I'm satisfied just being right here right now. If God wants to take me home, I'm going to be satisfied even more. But I thank God. But we see here, he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. Send Lazarus. Send someone just to dip the tip of their finger in the water and let it drop on my tongue for a little. That ain't much water. I went to get my water and the pump wouldn't work, so I didn't get any. And I usually drink about two of them while I'm up here. So it's going to be short because I'm getting kind of dry mouth. I didn't see nobody run and get no water. Bless your heart. Daddy's holding out a baby bottle over here. I don't think that was hard to work for me. But anyway, I'm sure God's got a baby bottle for some of us. That's a whole other message right there. Just come to me. But anyway, we'll go on with the one that God's got for us today. But he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in torment. Now, there's nothing better when you're dry and you're hot than a good, cool drink of water. There's nothing like it to quench your thirst. Think about just one drop that Lazarus wanted, or that the rich man wanted to drip on his tongue just for a little relief from the torment. Hell's an awful place. Let me tell you, Satan's selling a bill of goods that it's going to be some big party. Everybody's going to be partying down there. There's going to be plenty of drugs and plenty of alcohol and all this stuff. We're going to have a big old party and big old time, and we're just going to live it up while we're there in hell. Let me tell you, you ain't going to be living it up. You ain't going to know your neighbors there. Ain't going to be no alcohol. Ain't going to be no drugs. There's going to be burning and torment. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth that it tells us in God's Word. And there ain't going to be no pleasure when you're in hell. You're not going to burn up like no slab pile and it be over. No, sir. It's going to burn for eternity. Eternity in hell. Friend, there's two homecomings. Which one are you prepared for? There's one in heaven, there's one in hell. If you've never asked Jesus to save you, the homecoming that you're destined to go to, if you don't make it right with God before you leave this earth, is hell. And I know that's harsh. I know that hurts. But friend, I don't want you to die and go to hell. I don't want to be held responsible for not telling you the truth. Jesus said you've got to come through Him. He's the door. He's the way. If you try to go any other way, you try to crawl over the wall, you're nothing but a thief and a robber, and you're not going to get in. You must know Jesus. He loves you this morning. Verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Boy, you know that had to just stick in his craw. You know, man, I just wished I'd done things different. Don't live like that. Don't live into the point one day that you think, man, I just wished I'd have done that different. You know, I didn't ever trust Jesus, and now I'm dead, and ain't no way to get there, and I'm in hell. Man, I wished I'd have done things different. I wished I'd listened when that preacher I thought didn't have no sense was up there getting all hot and sweaty and spitting all over the place and trying to tell me about hell. That I'd listen to him. Because one day it will be too late. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. A great gulf fixed. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. God knew, because if we're a child of God, if we are truly saved and truly have the love of God in our heart, what would we want to do? If we looked and we just looked right back there and the only distance between here and the door and we saw a friend of ours that was in torment in hell and was burning, what would we want to do? We'd want to go down there and just throw a little water on them. God said, you can't do it. There's a separation been made. It's only the blood is sufficient to change the outcome of where we go. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Send him back from the dead and let him go to my house and preach to my brothers that they don't end up in the same shape I'm in. Do you have a concern for your family? All of a sudden the rich man got concerned. He saw what the judgment was going to be for his sin. It was a place called hell. And he didn't want nobody to come there. Go let him preach to my brothers and tell them about this awful place. But friend, we have one that's came back from the dead. His name's Jesus. They're still rejecting him. The greatest prophet that ever walked upon the face of the earth, that was perfect, that was sinless, that was blameless, that could go to the cross of Calvary, and they're still rejecting him today. He's the all-time champion of love. Thank God he's never been defeated. He never will be. Thank God he's standing victorious today. Thank God no matter what Satan tries to do to come against him, that Jesus still has the victory. And guess what? His children do too. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Friend, Jesus has already proved this statement wrong. He returned from the dead and he's preached unto the world through his men that he's called to stand and proclaim the word of God. He's spoken to hearts and they've rejected him and died and went to hell on their own choice. But Jesus is still saying, I am risen. I am victorious. I am alive. I have placed my blood on the mercy seat. Your sin debt is paid. Just believe in me and trust me, and I'll bring you home to be with me in heaven. And people still reject the story of Jesus, reject the blood. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. A foreshadowing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's still people turning a deaf ear this morning. There's people in this church that have turned a deaf ear to Jesus. He's knocking at your heart's door this morning and dealing with your heart, those that's lost. Those that's lost and you're rejecting Him. You're holding back. You're holding to the pew. You're holding to a songbook. Maybe your child's hand. Maybe your husband's hand. Maybe your wife's hand. Whatever it might be, you're holding on to something of this world. Release it and come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. The rich man wished that he had one more chance. One more opportunity. Just one more. As a song was sung here some time ago about just one more verse. If we sang one more verse of a song, who may come? One more prayer, Christian, and that lost person may repent and come to Jesus. One more homecoming. We may have a home going. We've had folks that's left this world in the last year. We thought we might be here by this homecoming, but they've gone home to be with the Lord. It's a little brighter there because they are there waiting us. But the brightness that outshines them all is Jesus. The light of heaven that needs no more lights. No candles by night because there is no night. Be no sin, no darkness, no hard times. When I first wanted to play music, I tried to play the banjo. Maybe God will let me play in heaven. Because I couldn't get both hands to work together down here. Guitar's a little easier. You just get this going in the right direction and you learn the chords. And that, God gave me that ability. He said, that's enough. He said, I've got other things for you to do. But what a time it's going to be when we're gathered together. And we sang that song of the redeemed. We're going to be there with Brother Lazarus. This is a different one than we see being called out earlier over in John, called out from the grave. But thank God, one day God's going to speak and say, Brad, come up hither. I'm going to take my flight, I promise you. I know that God moved in my heart and saved me, and I promise you, if you're saved, I'll see you in heaven. If you're lost, friend, I want you to come be with me. I don't want you to die and go to hell because it's an awful place. The rich man was in torment. He had known good all of his life. But when it come right down to it and he died and left this world, hell wasn't worth all the riches that he had. He would have gladly have traded it for everything in the world to have been able to go to heaven. But he couldn't. Friend, I love you this morning. Jesus Christ loves you most of all because he was able to come bleed and die for you. If I could, but I can't because, see, I'm in a sin-cursed body. I'm not perfect. Never have been, never will be. The only thing that's perfect about me is what Jesus saved. And friend, when we realize that Jesus is the perfect one, and we are the fallible one, we are the one that needs a Savior, God can save us. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I beg you, please, make the choice that Lazarus did. Follow God. Don't believe the lies of Satan. Don't put your faith and stock in the things that you can possess here in this world, because let me tell you, when the time comes and God calls us out and our time on earth is done, you're not going to take a bit of it with you. What you will take is what you gave away. Give your soul to Jesus. He'll take you home to heaven this morning. As they get a song of invitation ready this morning, they'd come and play. Friend, there's no better time than right now to get saved. Satan's probably telling you right now in your ear, there's people here that I don't know. That's all right. That's all right. If they're saved, they're praying for you, whether they know you're not. If they have that compassion that God has given us as a child of God, they'll be praying for you. They won't be talking about you. And if they're talking about you, I pray God deal with them, that they'll have to come and kneel beside you. As we stand to our feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. Friend, who are you this morning? Are you the rich man? Are you Lazarus? Are you ready? Are you prepared to meet Jesus? Is he standing as it was when Stephen was stoned? And he looked and he saw Jesus stand to his feet to receive him in. Is it like the thief on the cross? Is it maybe your last moment? It may be the last time God deals with your heart. Because friend, that can happen if you reject Him long enough. He doesn't say He will deal with you all your life. There will be a point that He can turn from you. That He can turn from you. But He wants to save you today. If you draw that last breath and you can't say heaven would be my home, I beg you, please come. Come to the altar. Let Jesus cleanse you and save you from all unrighteousness. Let Him make you new from the inside out. Let Him perform that heart operation that leaves no scar, but leaves a new human being with a Savior that loves them and moves in. Gives a new song in your heart. Friend, maybe you're here this morning and you want me to pray for you. It won't save you, but it's a beginning. It'll be that first step. Would you just lift your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm lost and I need to be saved. Will you pray for me that God will increase my faith, that I'll just trust Him and I'll surrender to Him?" Would you just lift that hand up high and say, "Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. I'll be glad to. I'd rather pray with you, but I'll be glad to pray for you." Christian, maybe you've got a need on your heart this morning. Whatever it might be, bring it to the altar. Surrender and come. Surrender to Jesus. He's dealing with your heart this morning. Whatever it might be, please step out and come. Step out and come. God's dealing with your heart. Please come. People stepping out and coming. Will you join them? Will you come to the altar? Surrender it to Jesus. Whatever it might be this morning, will you come? Maybe you want to come and just pray with this sister that's come. Help to bear her burden as we're supposed to. Each other's burdens. Will you come? Shortly we're going to close out. Don't say, "Preacher didn't give me a chance to come." Friend, this altar's open. God's moving. Please come. Surrender unto Him. May be seated where you are. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for homecoming, dear God, and for us being able to get together one more time this side of eternity. God, I pray if there's any here this morning that don't know You in the free pardon of sin, God, that they'd have to surrender their heart to You. Dear God, that You would deal with hearts and bring them back to You. Dear Heavenly Father, bring them to You into Your love. God, if there's one here that's out of Your will, dear Heavenly Father, that You're speaking to, bring them back into the family, dear God, and show them that You're right where they left You. dear Heavenly Father, that you love them, that you'll forgive them, that you'll welcome them back in and not bring it back up against them. That you don't beat us down and push us down and keep us burdened down to where we can't lift our head up, but God, that you give us, dear God, joy in our heart for serving you. And dear Heavenly Father, that we don't let Satan rob us of a blessing. That we'll just surrender and be humble servants of you, just asking you to have your will and way in our life. Dear God, we thank you for this and that's come. Lord, we pray that you just answer our prayers according to your will. Dear Heavenly Father, and those, dear God, that may have wanted to come but held back and didn't. Dear God, we pray that you just bless them and answer their prayers, dear Heavenly Father, deal with their heart. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful singing that we've had today. Dear Heavenly Father, for these congregation is gathered today in your name, dear God, here at the church to remember our loved ones that's gone on. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that there will be a great reunion one day. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that it won't be long that you're going to call us home. Dear Heavenly Father, whether by the way of the grave or by the way of the rapture, I'm going up to be with you, and I thank you. I thank you that there is a God, and he is real. And I thank you that I feel you in my heart, and I know that you're alive. And I know that you're guiding our paths, dear God, in this life. Lord, we thank you for the day that we'll soon all be going home to the marriage supper of the Lamb. God, what a wonderful time it's going to be. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the meal that's prepared downstairs and the ladies that's been working this morning, dear God, and the gentlemen that's been helping. God, that you would just bless all the food that's been prepared this morning to the nourishment of our bodies and our bodies under thy service. In Jesus' name we pray.